This summer, take a walking tour of the outdoor art on the UBC campus. Since the late 1940s, works of outdoor art have been collected by the university to enrich the campus environment. Together, these artworks give voice to multiple stories about the history of UBC and Vancouver, and are part of an ever-evolving narrative about art, space, and place, and our own sense of ourselves. There's guided tours featuring highlights of the collection. They vary in length from 1 to 1.5 hours. You can also enjoy a self-guided tour at your own pace. Download the Outdoor Art Tour Book or pick up a copy at the gallery. Suggested routes take about 20 minutes to walk, while a full tour takes about 3 hours. To find out more, or to book a tour, go to belkin.ubc.ca and search for Outdoor Art Tours.
Punk Rock's premier sisters, Skating Polly, are returning to Vancouver, earning praise from members of X, The Flaming Lips, Babes in Toyland, and more. The grungy three-piece plays September 4th at Lanaloo's, joined by local phenomenon Joe Past. Tickets available at rickshawtheater.com and both Red Cat Records locations. See you there.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 6th of September, 2019, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Oaks End, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, the Fringe Festival is here. The Vancouver Fringe Festival opened last night and runs until Sunday the 15th. And for the third week in a row, we're going to introduce you to some of the many theater artists from around the world and some homegrown ones as well, who you can see over the next 10 days. Including Vancouver-based actor, singer, songwriter, poet Rodney DeCrew, who talks about growing up with a PTSD war veteran father in Didn't Hurt. We'll meet Candace Roberts, who explores gender, feminism, and what it means to be human in Larry. We'll find out about Love Cat Theater and the Russian play by Anna Moskovich. There's The Great Canadian Porno, the musical. Don't think I need to say any more about that. Also, In Several Times, a work that combines dance, spoken word, musical composition, and live sound mixing, and an interactive piece from the United Kingdom called AI Love You. It's Vancouver's award-eligible hour for local independent theater, film, and music. And it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. All righty. Happy September there, fun lovers. Yes, summer is definitely over. I actually had to stand in line for coffee at the Blue Chip this morning. So Yeah, we're definitely back into regular regular university mode here on campus. And of course, as I said, Fringe Festival is getting started. I guess with the classes starting this week and all the construction that's going on, it's creating a bit of a traffic hassle. So some of our guests are still on their way in, but that's okay because we're going to start out with a recorded interview. The first show we're going to talk about is called A, I Love You. It's a production of Exit Productions from the United Kingdom. It's the story of a 20-something couple who are living a nearly blissful, generic existence, except for the fact that one of them is actually an artificially intelligent companion tailor-made for the other. Sounds like a lot of fun. The two stars of the play are Peter Dewhurst and Fiona Hardy, who have made the trek out to Vancouver to be at the Fringe, and then they're going to stick around. They decided they like Vancouver so much they want to make a shot at it here. So yesterday, they're in tech right now, and as you probably know if you've had any experience at the Fringe, changing your tech time is almost impossible. So they came out yesterday afternoon, and we did a pre-recorded interview all about AI Love You. So you're here with a show called AI Love You.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and AI, of course, artificial intelligence. Yep. So there's a little bit of kind of science fiction element
yes,
to it.
Yes, definitely.
Tell us a little bit about sort of what the plot is, what the story is that you're telling.
The story is I am a young man called Adam, a fairly typical young man, sort of representative of 20, 30-somethings. And I've been trialing a robot companion, a robot girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been given to me by a large corporation called Creative BioLife Incorporated, who have supplied me as a sort of trial, this companion. And it's got 3 years into that trial, and we're deeply in love, and we've been living together and all of that kind of thing. And she started to break. She started to malfunction. Mm-hmm. And she's started to say, I would like to be switched off. I've had enough. And so we're being placed in front of a tribunal, because of a corporate tribunal, who are in fact the audience. The audience are that group of people who have to make that decision. For whatever reason, they have to make that decision as to whether or not she should be given those rights, or whether or not I should have the right to say, no, she's my robot.
Right, so, right.
It's the
whole, it's the whole idea of sentience and bodily autonomy versus property.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So Fiona, that's got to be an interesting challenge for you as an actor.
It is. I think I have the privilege and luck almost because Peter already did the show a few times, mm-hmm. so I got to see it as an audience member, and it's so good and really compelling, and as an immersive experience as well. It doesn't demand too much of you as an audience member, so it's really nice. Like if you don't love immersive theatre, then you don't have to do too much. It's just sort of voting.
Yeah.
But yes, as an actor, it's really interesting because obviously questions about female suffrage and kind of how public female bodies often are anyway, mm-hmm. just as a human,
yeah.
and that versus what does it mean when people make a doll that comes to life,
yeah.
basically, and is like the property of a man or of anyone, and then sort of sentience, and where does the consciousness come from?
Mm.
There's lots of really interesting
and it also
questions.
Brings up the whole idea of terminal illness.
Yeah, of course.
You know, whether or not you're an artificial life form or biological, you're still dealing with the fact that all of a sudden you're being told that your life is about to end.
Exactly. So you're
and what are your choices in that matter?
Yeah, so sort of just euthanasia as well comes mm-hmm. into it. And I think that's one of the really good things.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because it could be about either how terminal illness affects the sufferer of that illness, or how the carer also is
right.
affected by that.
Yeah.
And how that affects both parties, and it is it's important to note that it isn't it could be about terminal illness, but it's not a solid fact. There are very few solid facts in this show. We could kind of see it as I'm sure medically speaking there aren't that many necessarily solid facts to say this is where does the line fall as to what's terminal. Life is terminal, isn't
yeah.
it really? So
But that's sort of the whole question of autonomy and choice comes
yes.
in, is well you might not be dying yeah but you know I've decided
yes.
that this is how I want it to go
and, yes
yeah.
yes absolutely yeah and it's I think well I mean that's I suppose the interesting element for the audience also getting decisions to make as well because
yeah.
it's sort of that as you say it's about autonomy and choice making but that choice has actually been taken away and being put in the hands of the public.
Right.
And
so, like, there's a vote at the end or something?
Okay. So we can talk a little bit about structure, because really interesting parts of the show. Fiona mentioned sort of immersive theatre or interactive theatre or game theatre is the sort of the terms that Exit Productions has been sort of really engaged with. Mm-hmm. And the idea is essentially to make the outcomes of the show in the audience's hands, that the audience are to some extent the protagonists of the show or the agents of change within the show. And they vote as they go along. And as Fiona said, it's quite kind of shallow water interactivity. It's not like Deep End. You've got to get up on stage and pretend to be a pirate or whatever. You can if you like. But ultimately, you just have at the very least, you either have to put a piece of paper in the air or not put a piece of paper in the air, and that's your voting system. And that happens several times throughout the show. And those votes during the show simply cause which part of the show you're going to see next. So the question will often be, who do you agree with at this stage? You will only hear from the person who loses this vote, or you will hear first from the person that loses this vote and then from the person that won it.
And it genuinely affects how the play runs. So there are certain bits that you won't hear at all if you vote for one of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have monologues that we don't get to do.
Really important to note that, because it's a real frustration of making this kind of theatre that people tend to watch it and go, there's a trick in there or something. Yeah, you just took a vote and then you just carried on with the play. And you kind of go, no, we really didn't.
And you have to learn it different ways, and it's pretty confusing.
Yeah. And there really are, and then at the end, there really are two completely different endings and two different outcomes depending on who wins.
Which makes it attractive for an audience member to come back.
Yes,
because you won't see the same show
twice.
We had
in the initial run, we had some really, really frustrated guys that came back, I think, three or four times, and they were trying to turn the audience to vote the other way, because they were like, no, we haven't seen the other ending. We need to see this other ending. And they kept on trying, but the audience kept on being really sympathetic to the robot, and they were kind of going, no, how can we? They're obviously studying up, reading like lawyers. They're putting together their arguments. How are we going to win this? And actually, that's a good point, because there is a little more interactivity, which is for those who want to take it, which is there's opportunities to ask questions of the characters. Mm-hmm. And sort of, so if anything's really, you've got burning questions or things that you, or even ways that you think you can kind of stump us, things you go, oh, they can't have thought of this, what about this? You know, come along and give it your best shot.
Anyone who knows lots about tech or thinks a lot about AI.
Yes.
Come and try and stump us.
Yes, and then there's a kind of conversation bit where the audience can try to swing other people within the audience if they think, actually, I think I've figured this out better than anyone else. I can,
Brilliant. Yeah. Sounds very exciting.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll see you there.
Maybe you will.
Yeah. Two for one on Friday.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Now, also, you mentioned earlier that and once the show is over, you're going to stick around.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're on the lookout for new acquaintances, new friends.
Yeah.
We're auditioning. We're holding auditions for new friends.
Good. So, well, I hope I get a call back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming in, and
have
a great run with AI Love You.
Thank you very much.
So that was Fiona and Peter from Exit Productions. AI Love You is going to be at Studio 16, which is at 7th and Granville in the Fairview District of Vancouver, just up the hill from Granville Island. And as with all of the other shows that we're talking about today, the best way to find out more is just go to VancouverFringe.com, and there's a little search box, and you just type in the title of the show that you want to find out more about. And this one is called AI Love You. We are still waiting for people to get through traffic, so we're going to hear a little bit of music right now. The other great thing about the Fringe is the Fringe Bar. It's right down on Granville Island and right down along the waterfront, and there is music every night and every afternoon. There's stuff going on all through the Fringe, and lots of local artists, lots of people coming up from all over the place wanted to entertain you as well. Today we've got a group, a singer from Seattle called Ings, and this is their song Dog Physics. They'll be on tonight at 8:00 at the Fringe Club.
Neighbors, they may have changed, but you know they're good at moving. Organize a box of paints, waiting for a different season. it's safe. Lord knows I'm the one that will. I will speak your language. I'm the one to do it.
So that is Ings performing tonight at the Fringe Club at 8 o'clock. And check out, when you go on the Fringe website, go to Fringe Bar and check out all the different music that's available all during the festival. All right, we have a guest. Linnea's here. Hi.
Hi.
Tell us your full name.
Yeah, my full name is Linnea Gviazda.
It's
kind of a hard one to pronounce.
I'm notorious for butchering names, so I just thought, you tell me what it is.
Oh, mine is butchered all the time. So.
And you are, let me just think now, you are part of a group called O Albatross, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. So.
And your show this year at the Fringe is called...
In several times.
It's here. I just have to find
There's a lot of Fringe shows to keep track of.
Well, yeah. I'll use that excuse. Anyway, thanks for making it in. I understand there's some traffic going on out in the real world.
Lots of traffic, lots of construction at UBC. So, it's quite interesting to come here, but I'm glad I made it.
Tell us a little bit about In Several Times.
Yeah, so In Several Times is an interdisciplinary choreographic work.
Mm-hmm.
So it incorporates movement, live sound mixing, spoken word, to create this sort of dreamlike remembrance of spaces and places that we've been before in our mm-hmm. past that maybe we hold dear to us, but that we can no longer visit or can no longer visit in the same way. So it's sort of come from a lot of personal memories of myself as well as my collaborators to create this sort of nostalgic remembrance of spaces and really explore the way that we hold memory in our body and the way that spaces hold memory as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
What was the germ, what was the seed? What kind of inspired this this direction? What made you say this is what we want to do?
Yeah, well, originally, actually, this work was acted as my MFA thesis show
mm-hmm.
when I graduated from the Master's in Fine Arts program at SFU 2 years ago. And during that program, I was really I was exploring the way that We hold memory the way that we connect to memory. Mm-hmm. And especially pertaining to my own family history, I went on a research trip to Poland and Germany following sort of the trajectory of my grandparents who are Polish and the trajectory that they took during the Second World War after the Nazi invasion of Poland. And so that was a really personal research trip for me.
Yeah.
And that really sparked a lot of the inspiration for this work, as well as the memories that I have of their home that I grew up visiting. They're no longer alive. They, mm-hmm. they passed on when I was quite young. But these memories that I hold on to and how those memories connect to this place that I've never lived, but is a part of my person, yeah. a part of my body. So
just wanted to reflect mm-hmm. on the fact that it was 80 years ago this week that that happened.
I know.
When the Germans invaded Poland.
Yeah, you know, that I realized that this week when yeah. I was seeing stuff online and I kind of made that connection. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I mean, it's history. It's far back in the past, but it's mm-hmm. still very much a part of your experience and who you are and
yeah.
you know, like yeah. what formed you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And what yeah. can be passed down, you know, mm-hmm. these just memories that are really simple and really kind of human and even small and subtle, like yeah. the taste of food.
So
and
how does that get translated mm-hmm. into the stage experience?
Yeah, so we really worked starting from the senses. So individually, myself and my collaborators looking at specific places that held significance to us and then thinking about the scent, the texture, the feeling of the air. Mm-hmm. And then how do you move in a way that illustrates that space, even when you can no longer be in it physically or no longer be in it physically in the same way. Mm-hmm. So we really looked at what embodying a space might look like. And that was the impulse for a lot of the movement originally in creating the work. We also have organic materials in this space. There's tea that's made on stage at one point. There's the scent of fresh lemon and dill and things that are organic that we can actually put in our bodies that can mm-hmm. connect us to spaces and memory and tradition and culture.
Yeah, and the sense of smell has a very important and powerful mm-hmm. place in bringing out memories. You know, mm-hmm. it's a lot of times, you know, just a random smell will bring some vivid memory back. And
absolutely,
so that's yeah. that's a very very powerful thing. Tell me who your collaborators are.
Yeah, so I've got a handful of fantastic collaborators, three dance artists and performers. So that would be Mark Arboleda, Kayla DeVos, and Mihaela Patterson O'Brien. And then I have a sound artist, a composer, Matthew Ariaratnam, who does live sound mixing and composition from the stage space. Some of the sounds are created from the stage itself, including like the sound of falling salt, the sound of a kettle boiling mm-hmm. to a whistle. So those are my primary collaborators on this piece. And then the work is production managed by Corey Tiber, who is the other artistic director of O Albatross, the mm-hmm. company that we create under.
Yeah, mm-hmm. wonderful. So you're at the Cult Historic.
I am,
which
yeah.
is a lovely venue to play
beautiful.
In. Yeah,
it is like one of the most beautiful venues that I've ever presented work in. It's yeah. just really special.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to do a show there a couple of years ago, and you just felt like we lucked out. We, you know what I mean?
Totally.
It is sometimes it is a lottery, not just to be chosen to, but where you're selected to where your venue is mm-hmm. you know, getting into the Cult Historic is a great spot to be. So,
yeah, it can be a bit of a challenge. It's out there. People have a hard time leaving the island sometimes
yep.
at the fringe. They'll yep. be like, no, I only stay on the island, but there are some pretty exciting shows at the Cult. It's a beautiful venue to be at.
Yeah. And you know, I know there's also some people that will only stay in the area around the Cult.
Totally.
Because you've also got the Wise Hall and the Havana mm-hmm. and the York and there's probably some BYOVs around there
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, there's What Lab too, which yeah. is not far away. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it creates a really nice hub in East Van. I'm really
yeah.
happy. And I live in East Van, so,
yeah. so
it's like in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
yeah.
Perfect. All right. You couldn't ask for anything better. All right, so it's in several times.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Cult Historic. And do you have a two-for-one night?
Yeah, so, well, we open tomorrow, mm-hmm. so that's Saturday, September 7th, and that's at 6:15, and then our half-price show is Monday, September 9th at 8:15.
All right. Great. Mm. Okay. So once again, go to VancouverFringe.com and type in several times and get your tickets and have an entertaining evening.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in. All right. We have more folks coming up. So let's just take a break and we'll be right back.
Come celebrate the first ever UNA Neighbors Day on Saturday, September 7th. Formerly known as Barn Raising, Neighbors Day is a free event for everyone. Join us at Jim Taylor Park outside the Old Barn Community Center from 12 to 4 p.m. for a fun day with live music, food, inflatable activities, and much more. Featuring music from DJ Hubs and an energetic street party from VYVE, this is an event you don't want to miss. UNA Neighbors Day, Saturday, September 7th. For more information, please visit myuna.ca/events. Bard on the Beach, Shakespeare Festival's 30th season is running now until September 21st. It's housed in two modern theater tents and situated on the spectacular waterfront setting of Vancouver's Vanier Park. On the BMO main stage is Taming of the Shrew, a hilarious runaway hit inspired by Bard's 2007 Wild West production. This plays in repertory with the Elizabethan-era romantic comedy Shakespeare in Love. On the Howard Family stage, there are two new innovative productions, Shakespeare's All's Well That Ends Well, set in India in the 1940s, and Coriolanus, a no-holds-barred political tragedy filled with resonance for our time. For tickets and information, visit bardonthebeach.org.
Need a good story? Then check out timelesslegend.com. It follows guitarist Miles as she moves to the big city in Meat Tricks and gets sucked into the weird world of Timeless. They tackle some serious issues like sexuality and inequality. You'll be hooked by the compelling story from episode 1. Plus, there's an audiobook that's packed with a full cast of actors and original music to listen to on the go. Again, that's timelesslegend.com. Use the coupon code 2FREEDOM to get it free right now. That's the number 2 and then word freedom. If it gets too heavy, oh,
you know I'll drop now. All right, we're back. Candace Roberts is here. Hi, Candace. Stop talking. Stop. Jeez, these things. It just keeps going. Hi, Candace.
Hi.
You have a show called Larry.
I do.
Yeah. Tell us about Larry.
Okay, well, Larry is he's a character based on the archetypal men in my town growing up in a small town, B.C., Campbell River, B.C.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was totally normal for men to be, like, misogynistic and homophobic and socially dominant. But at the same time, you know, really lovable people. So it's a complex character.
Yeah.
This is a show based in clowning, mm-hmm. which is not your typical clowning where I do not wear a red nose. It's more based in connection to an audience.
Yeah.
And my definition of clown is hope in the face of failure. The clown never gives up hope and they continue to fail.
Yeah.
So Larry, throughout the show, he's trying to prove that he can be a better man. But he's continually failing, of course, but he never gives up. And in a moment of transcendence, discovers that there is a woman in his psyche.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's kind of like I'm playing my inner dude discovering his inner woman.
Chick, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a very funny show and women seem to love it. It's very much a feminist comedy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also fun.
It's very, very fun. It's not preachy at all.
Yeah.
There's some great music in it. There's tap dancing. there's, you know.
So what was it like growing up in Campbell River?
Well, you know, my dad was a logger. Mm-hmm. All his friends were loggers.
Yeah.
Lots of beer drinking. Yeah. Lots of pit parties. Mm-hmm. Lots of AC/DC and Guns N' Roses.
Island living.
Yep. Lucky beer.
Yeah.
Larry drinks Lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reminds me of my past, too. So Tell me a little bit about your background. When did you leave Campbell River to hit the big city?
Yeah.
What got you interested in theater? Great. What's your story?
I've been in Vancouver for about 25 years now. About 10 years ago, I discovered the art of clowning, and it literally changed my life. I used to be depressed. I thought that I was just born into a sad body, and that's just the way it is. I met a person who I was just blown away by her ability to roll with the punches. She was always laughing. She was always crying. And I was like, I want to be like her. Yeah. What's going on here? And she was a clown. And I was like, what is this clowning thing? So I started taking the classes, and they were terrifying, and I hated it. But I kept going, and I cried so much. But then there came a turnaround where all of a sudden it became nurturing to me. It became like eating and breathing. It was so lovely. The fundamental skill in the clowning I learned is about connection to your audience. So first of all, it's connection to yourself. You really have to know physically where you're standing, emotionally where you're standing, to connect with another human being. So once you find this eye contact and connection, you learn to do it with a larger group of people. So it's really about stripping away everything and sharing your humanity first with a human being.
It's really interesting. I've been listening to some other podcasts and with stand-up comics talking about their experiences. And there's some similar stuff, because comics like to talk about their worst experience, standing on stage and absolutely bombing.
Totally.
And that's sort of what keeps them going.
That's the humanity.
Yeah.
You know, we failure. And in clowning, we go to our shame, our points of shame. Those are the juicy spots, and those are the places that people recognize. They see themselves in it, and it's like we're exposing the underbelly, the taboos, the things that we're not allowed to talk about. Mm-hmm. Like the clowns all throughout history, they were the only ones that could talk about these things that were not allowed to be talked about.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the court jester, the fool.
Exactly.
Who could say things to the king
to
that
the king
no
and not
one
get
else.
Killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. And Larry says terrible things. He's very sexist.
Yeah.
And because that's a story I can tell, because I'm a woman and I am basically telling my story through this redneck man character. Mm-hmm. I am saying the things that I have heard a lot as a woman.
Yeah.
You know, for example, a very simple thing of, you should smile more.
Ooh.
You know, I know that's a small thing, but if I had a dollar for every time
I heard
that.
You'd be much prettier, you know.
Right. Exactly. You're welcome.
Yeah.
How about this one? Do you want me to teach you how to park like a man? I'm not kidding. Although this old Lions Club man, he actually taught me how to park really well. So, you know. But now I know how to park like a man.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now you've been traveling the country with this show. You said you came from Edmonton, where you were pick of the fringe. Well done.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, Edmonton loved Larry so much. Think they might have recognized
a
little.
There might be a few Larrys in Edmonton.
But you know what I found out is that there's Larrys all across Canada.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone says to me, "I know that guy. That's my brother. That's my Uncle George." You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're playing at the Havana.
I am.
Which is another one of the East Van venues that we were talking about before.
Yep.
So, you know, it's and I've also done shows at the Havana, and they are really I get the sense that they're really supportive.
It's wonderful there. It's really intimate. You can go have a drink afterwards or beforehand. You know, it's my hood actually.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be close to there.
Cool. All right, so it's Larry.
Larry, come.
Don't
come
miss
meet
Larry.
Larry. Have a lucky with Larry.
I like that.
Okay.
All right, Candace, thanks. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, cheers.
The Study and Go Abroad Fair is back in town on Sunday, September 29th at the Vancouver Convention Center, East Building. Meet face-to-face with top universities from around the world. Learn about degrees in law, medicine, health sciences, arts, technology, pharmacy, business, hotel management, and much more. Check out the Travel Zone for internships, language travel, and work abroad. For more info, visit www.studyandgoabroad.com. Admission is free.
I'm gonna give you my love. ta-ta.
Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again. I could be you.
And we are back. We are back right there. And Rodney DeCruz is here now. Rodney, hi.
Hey, Dave.
Hi. Last time you were here, we talked about the great Al Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
And now today we're here to talk about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing a show called Didn't Hurt.
That is correct.
And it's another very deep personal exploration.
Yeah, it's my buddy TJ Daw directed, dramaturged it. Mm-hmm. I wrote it, perform it.
Yeah.
It deals with intergenerational trauma, PTSD, because my father was a Vietnam vet.
Mm-hmm.
And he took us up into the bush in northern BC after the war, and he was suffering from PTSD himself.
Yeah.
And
which at the time, it was hard to recognize. Like, we didn't know what it was.
No, people didn't know what it was. I mean, I'm sure there were some medical professionals who had some ideas, obviously.
Yeah.
But no, people didn't understand it very well.
No. I mean, it's the kind of thing that it seems like every war, the name changes and the diagnosis expands and, you know, and... You know, it becomes.
Yeah, and war has brought attention to the condition, but it's you know, there's so many people outside of veterans even who wrestle with this with PTSD
mm-hmm.
and complex PTSD.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. What's the definition of complex PTSD?
Okay, so say a person's had a relatively stable life,
mm-hmm.
you know, good parenting, you know, they've been relatively secure in themselves, but they have a car crash.
Yeah.
And it's traumatic, and for whatever reason, their brains are wired differently, and they end up with PTSD.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to minimize the impact on their life. It can be it's a terrible thing. It's difficult to deal with, but if they go to treatment and you know if they work on it, they will be able to approach something like the baseline of their previous life.
Yeah.
Right. But it's a lot of hard work, and they will always deal with PTSD. A person with complex PTSD, it's a very different thing because you're looking at somebody who usually is a child, is in the developmental stages of a person's life. When they're exposed to traumatic episodes on an ongoing basis, so mm-hmm. like a very abusive home, or maybe there's sexual assault or physical assault, psychological abuse. It could be a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, that person's identity is created in trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do they have, you know, that impact of dealing with the trauma replaying itself throughout their lives at any given moment, but they're also dealing with an unstable personality. You know, they haven't, you know, they don't have those positive life lessons mm-hmm. and, you know, those life skills. So my therapy was geared towards complex PTSD, which I have. So mm-hmm. not only did I have to start to learn how to deal with PTSD and its symptoms and how to manage it, I've also had to learn how to live.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's been a pretty steep climb.
It has.
Yeah.
But I've been fortunate. I mean, I'm an artist, so that's given me a big head start.
Yeah.
Because I've always been able to wrestle with these things in my work. And I've been lucky. I've had some great therapists. I have Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The show kind of deals with this strange cocktail that comes to me.
Yeah.
That when I really start looking for help, because at the midpoint of the show, I mean, I basically destroyed my music career. Nobody wants to work with me anymore. I'm suicidal.
Yeah.
I'm depressed. I'm isolated. And I have to make the decision to stop touring and to stay home and focus on therapy. But it becomes so much more than therapy, right?
Yeah.
And so the show kind of charts that course. But it also takes you back to me as a child. And you see, you know, my life with my father. But you also hear more about my father. He's not just, you know, this frightening.
No one is.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just this is your reality. This is your life. He's your dad. He's someone you love, and he loves you. And and it just because of what happened to him and how his brain was changed.
Yeah.
You know, it expresses itself in different ways.
Exactly. And these things are so much bigger than the individuals involved.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And he was 19 when he was sent there.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Can you imagine? Well, all these kids out here, I call them kids, young adults that I see here on campus through your window.
Yeah.
Imagine if they were all in military uniforms stuck in the jungles of Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know, bringing war to people who, well, that we shouldn't have even been there.
Right? Yeah.
But that's a whole other can of worms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that compounds it, too. At least, you know, if you think that you have the you know, the moral justification for what you're doing, you kind of protect yourself. But when, you know, in the Vietnam era, the realization that we really shouldn't be here, that can tear into your your psyche as well.
Yeah, and it did. I know. Well, you know, this is something I tell people. It was interesting. At Vancouver Folk Festival one year, I played my song War Torn Man.
Mm-hmm.
On this main stage, and it deals with my father, his experiences, and a lot of there were several people that came up and spoke to me afterwards. And this two older couple, they said, you know, we were hippies, and you know, and the man was crying, and he hugged me, and he said, we were too hard on some of those guys. We didn't understand that, and I'm not minimizing the fact that people like my father did some pretty horrible things over there. Like they shouldn't have been there. It was wrong, and people died because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, my father was just some kid from a small coal town outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at a time when there was no internet.
Yeah.
There was just this ubiquitous brainwashing that took place to the American school system and the society, the churches, everybody. So when he went over there, he really believed that he was going over there to do something good.
Yeah.
And then he discovered he had no idea why he was there and why his friends were dying and why he was doing things that he hated himself for.
Yeah.
Right? So I learned at a certain point in my life I had no business being resentful.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, when did you decide that you wanted to tell this story at the Fringe?
Well, I went to go see TJ's, he remounted a Canadian bartender at Butlin's.
And we're talking about TJ Daw, who is he's like a fringe.
I'm contractually obligated to refer to him as a fringe god.
Okay. All right. Good. thank, I'm glad you said it.
It started out as fringe legend, and then he upped it to God. Yeah. He said, this legend thing isn't cutting it.
There's too many legends.
I saw him at I saw him doing his show, the Canadian Bartender at Butlin's, at the Fire Hall last year. And we chatted because we know each other, and then we went out for coffee. And TJ suggested, after we talked a bit, that I write this show. And at first, I'll be honest, I was like, no, you know, because there was going to be no poetry, no music, none of the stuff that
you do.
That I do, even though I'm an actor, even though I went to Studio 58. You know, this idea that I was just going to stand in this story and tell it with no distance, no detachment.
No guitar to shield yourself with.
Exactly. Yeah. And even though the guitar and the poems, you know, but they could be masked too, right? And so at first I wasn't into it. And then he said, listen, I'll direct, I'll dramaturge, and I will even come over while you write the most difficult parts. And at first I was like, are you kidding me? Don't you know who I am? I'm a man. I don't need you to come over while I write those tough parts. And then I realized, well, this is kind of the crux of the show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, let him come over.
Yeah.
Admit that you need some help. So I wrote it. And then we got into the, then we took it. I mean, I've been in Orlando, Montreal, Toronto, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, and now Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the show over the place. And it's been a bit controversial. I mean, the audiences.
Oh, yeah, I can believe that.
The audiences love it.
Yeah.
People, I'm constantly getting emails from people hugging me after the show, people crying. Because a lot of people have people in their lives or they're dealing with these things themselves. But I've also had people walk out. People have come right up to me and said, you know, that was too dark, that was depressing.
Yeah.
One woman emailed me and said, you know, why would you put that on stage? But I have to be patient because I realize that I think people who react that strongly, there's something in their history that they don't know how to be with.
Yep.
And that's okay.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. All you can do is present it, and the audience responds as they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're at the Colch now.
Yeah.
Again, I love the Colch.
Yeah, it is a great spot. Yeah. We were just talking about that with Linnea. And,
their show and her partner's show the previous year was at the Colch too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awkward Hug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, it's called It Didn't Hurt.
Yes.
And Ronnie DeCrew, thanks a lot for coming in. One more thing.
Price show on Saturday.
Okay.
Half price, great. 3 o'clock at the event at the Colch.
At the Colch. All right.
Dave, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. He's just going to walk out?
Oh, I thought you wanted me to...
No, That's fine. I was just going to play this first, but that's...
Ta-ta.
Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again. I could be you.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Ahoy, mateys. Feeling lost at sea? Well, don't fret. From September the 16th to the 20th, CITR is running Degree Navigator to get you acquainted with some great local bands. Get your timbers shivered at the station every day at 12 p.m. with Vancouver's most trusty stars. On Monday is Nice Apple, Tuesday, Christina Sheldon, Wednesday, Parlor Panther, Thursday, Harley Small, and Friday, Psy. Come by to get your sea legs in the vast ocean of local music. The booty will be bountiful if you consider new knowledge about what's happening off campus booty.
We are back, and Nick Preston is here now. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. Nick and I had the pleasure of working together last Christmas in It's a Wonderful Life at the Gateway. Yeah. And now you are presenting, you've written The Great Canadian Porno.
The musical. Yes, very, very important.
Got to complete the title.
Yeah.
All right, tell me all about it.
Well, all about it. Well, I can't give away too many of the secrets of the play. But long story short,
nobody cares.
long story short, the play revolves around two millennials living in Vancouver. And as we all do, they are struggling with the price of housing. Jess has been living in, you know, your typical shitty basement suite full of mold for however many years and has been saving up so hard and finally has a new place that's going to be pet friendly, just opening, like the building's just finished in Yale Town. She is so stoked. But to make it work, because it's a full month pet deposit, she has to spend a month on Caleb's couch to do that. So she has it all worked out. She's going to sleep on her best friend's couch in this. He is in his mom's basement, super dirty, nasty place covered in cheesy dust. and unfortunately, something happens and she suddenly owes another stranger a big chunk of money. So they need to come up with some money real quick. And after several songs and discussions on ethics and what they end up deciding that they're going to make the first progressive porno. And then the porno doesn't end up doing as well as they expect it, but something else happens.
Okay.
And that really takes off. Okay. So it ends
All right.
Yeah, so I won't give too much.
We've got the foundation
the
laid down.
Yeah.
No, my first thought when I read the synopsis was that seems to be a theme now in the 21st century, that if somebody needs to make some quick cash or get some immediate attention, they go right to the sex tape. Like we got to do porn because that's the way we, you know,
get noticed. It's funny that's the way our brains work, because that was in one of the earlier drafts of the script. That was one of the, you know, the things that happened. They made the porno and that's where they made their money. But at one of our workshops, someone pointed out very bluntly that there's no money in porn.
Yeah.
So that was a that was one of the rewrites. Yeah, we have done a ton of
work. So now
though.
You have a second act. Right?
Like, well, like, in a sense, yeah, it always yeah. it kind of has just shifted a little. Yeah. We've done a ton of workshops.
Yeah.
But yes, now they make their money.
So how long have you been working on this?
Since 2015.
Really?
May 2015 is when the very first draft was completed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the story was we were driving. So I was working at the Theatre Royal in Barkerville.
Yeah.
Which is a magical, it's like history land.
Yeah.
In northern BC. And we were doing a charity show in Williams Lake, which is about a three-hour drive. And so you drive on the Canyon Highway through Cache Creek and stuff like Ashcroft. And these are tiny, tiny towns.
Yeah.
And there's no radio. But we were scanning and scanning. And we suddenly picked up this station. And it was a Christian radio station.
Mm-hmm.
So after listening to that station, because all we had for about an hour or whatever, something hit us. And that is what sparked the idea for the play. And we just had to write it. Right away, we started working on music.
So you got touched by the hand of the Lord.
Yes.
Who is we? Who are you working with?
Who's we? Yeah. So that summer, right away, we started working. And some of those very first lyrics are still in the script, which is crazy considering how much has changed.
Yeah.
That some little kernels from that very first draft are still there. But primarily now, so I'm the writer. I wrote book and lyrics. And then my composer is named Sam DeBruzen. He's also a UBC alum. He did a couple degrees here, actually, and then just went and did a third music degree at VCC.
Yeah.
So he's my composer. My dramaturg's name is Sarah Harrison. She was in the UBC BFA here with me.
I've known Sarah since she was in high school.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
So Sarah's been working on theater since well before high school even.
Oh, yeah. No, she was a volunteer at the Jericho Arts Center when I started working with United Players.
Of course she was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So she's dramaturg, and it's really made me really appreciate dramaturgy. I'm working on another new play now, and I'm like, okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Some dramaturgy is so valuable.
Why? Tell me about dramaturgy. Like, that's one of those words that sort of comes up. But,
oh, sure.
You know, what's a good definition for dramaturgy?
Well, dramaturgy is to a play as an editor is to a novel. So asking questions about what is it trying to communicate? Because it's so funny as a writer. You write your script, and you write what happens.
Yeah.
And then stepping on the outside what the message to the audience that they receive is can be very different from just happenstance events, because we're always going to perceive some sort of meaning from a play. So a director's job is to ask questions that help shape your intended meaning and your narrative.
Right. It's sort of the mechanics of theater, right? It's like you know, this is your story. This is your idea. Let's mold it in a thing that is sort of recognized as theatrical.
Yeah, of course. And we edit out crap that's not serving the story, anything that's not efficient, not necessary.
Yeah.
There's a term in theater called kill your babies.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to kill a lot of babies. Favorite little jokes you've written that you think are so funny but don't serve the play. So kill your babies.
Yeah.
A lot of babies die.
Great. And who's in the cast?
We have four phenomenal actors. We're super lucky. We're an equity collective, which is great.
Yeah.
So we are part of the union. We're professional theater. This is not amateur.
this is professional porn.
It is. It is
the musical.
Porn. Yes. Tim Howe, who is a alumni of University of Fraser Valley. He's the first person I know. One of the songs we wrote it knowing the key was way too high for any man to sing.
Yeah.
It's a gospel song where he's belting way up high. And, of course, Tim walked in and can actually sing it. So he's belting, for those who know music, he's belting high Ds, which is insane.
Yeah.
You know, normally belting a G and A tops, and he's way above that. Anyway, so Tim Howe, Ellis Story is a recent grad of Studio 58.
Mm-hmm.
Adriana Ravalli, she's from CCPA in Victoria. She just finished the Circle Game tour with the Fire Hall. They're phenomenal. And Aaron Lau, who is playing our lead man, who's kind of the gamer loner in the basement, but has a lot going on too.
Yeah, I know Aaron too. He's
of course.
He was in. The first Tuts play I did in 2004.
Okay.
Footloose.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. He's a character.
Yeah.
And I know Adriana, too. I think she was in Ariana. She was in Spring Awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So say hi to both of them for me.
That I can do.
Great. So you're at the Fire Hall.
We're at the Fire Hall. We open on Monday. We have two shows on Monday.
Uh-huh. Really? That's odd for the Fringe.
Well, because we initially had a show on Saturday, but one of the actors couldn't do, so we moved that to a Monday. So now we're doing a double opening on Monday. So we have an 8:30 show and then a 10:30 show.
Right.
So if you can come to the late one, that's great too.
Yeah. All right. So, and this one's easy because all you have to do is go on to the VancouverFringe.com and in the search box, just type in porno.
Porno, yeah.
And it'll come up. It's the only thing that comes up.
Yeah, and my like Google, you know, search bar automatically to type, start typing porno. The show link pops right up.
Yeah.
And like,
you know. Maybe don't do that.
Yes.
Go to the Fringe website and you'll find it. Yeah. Nick Preston, thanks so much
Thank
for coming
you so much,
in,
Dave.
Man. Oh, this has been a great show.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay. Come to the show. Fire Hall Center.
I am going to close it right now. And that's our show. Thanks a lot for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we are here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at CITR Dave Radio. And if you missed any or all of today's show, you want to relive glorious moments from the past, or you want to get a good idea of what to check out on the Fringe this year, just go to our archives at CITR.ca. Remember to subscribe and leave a comment on Apple Podcasts. Stick around. Audrey's on her way in with Too Dreamy, Beppe Crespin at 2 o'clock, and the great Nardwar, the human serviette from the Walk of Fame. He'll be on at 3:30. Dave Radio will be back next week at this same time. Thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.
At sea? Well, don't fret. From September the 16th to the 20th, CITR is running Degree Navigator to get you acquainted with some great local bands. Get your timbers shivered at the station every day at 12 p.m. with Vancouver's most trusty stars. On Monday is Nice Apple, Tuesday, Christina Sheldon, Wednesday, Parlor Panther, Thursday, Harley Small, and Friday, Psy. Come by to get your sea legs in the vast ocean of local music. The booty will be bountiful if you consider new knowledge about what's happening off campus booty.
Question. Question. Do you like fat electronic beats? Do you like serene ambient vibes? Do you like groovy disco? Do you wish you could listen to them all on the same show? Well, you can. Join me, Galen, every Thursday from 11 to noon as I spend an hour mixing and meandering through underground tunes from the local dance scene and beyond. It's called UDU Radio. See you then.